The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
While there was movement in recognising a Palestinian state this week, with the UK and France and Australia all recognising a two-state solution, the bombing continues, as we heard on the news, with 30 more people killed in the city of Gaza as the IDF moved through on the ground. Joining us now is Middle East correspondent with The Economist, talking to us from Dubai, Greg Karlstrom. Good morning, Greg. When is this going to end, do you think?
Not anytime soon, I fear. The Israeli government is still moving ahead with this large-scale offensive in Gaza City. As you said, there are reports just about every day now that dozens of Palestinians are being killed in Israeli bombardment. About half of the population of Gaza City has fled. About 500,000 people have fled to other parts of the territory, and Israel showing no sign of stopping that. And I think, crucially, the Americans also showing no sign that they're willing to stop Israel. Donald Trump yesterday, in his speech at the UN General Assembly, he said the war needs to stop immediately. He said all of the Israeli hostages need to be released from Gaza now, but he didn't outline anything in the way of new American diplomatic initiatives to try and bring that to make that a reality.
So when will enough be enough for the Israeli government?
Well, the conditions that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, has laid out for ending the war on his terms are conditions that I think are unlikely to be met anytime in the foreseeable future. He wants Hamas to agree to disarm, for example, and that's something the group has refused to do for 2 years. It's willing to hand over civil authority in Gaza, but it's not willing to hand over its weapons. And I don't see any sign that further Israeli fighting in Gaza is going to convince Hamas to change course. So I think for the Israelis, this is going to go on sort of indefinitely. And of course, Netanyahu has his own political reasons for that. He wants to hold his coalition together. He wants to prevent an election. Most Israelis think at this point that he is continuing this war, not for strategic reasons, but for his own self-interested political reasons.
And when is a general election in Israel due?
It's not due until next year. We have about a year from now until it has to take place. There were some procedural hurdles earlier this year, passing a budget, for example. If the Israeli government had failed to do that, it would have automatically triggered an early election. But Netanyahu was able to pass a budget. He's been able to at least temporarily defuse a crisis in his coalition related to drafting ultra-Orthodox Israeli Jews into the military. So there aren't any signs that something is going to happen that would trigger an early election. And the opposition has tried at various points over the past 2 years to organize no-confidence motions, but they haven't been able to pick off members of the governing coalition, and they would need to get several of them to vote in favor.
And is there a prospect of a change of government if there was an election that might end the war?
It's hard to say at this point because we don't know exactly who is going to be running in the next election. We don't know what the configuration of the parties is going to be. Many polls since October 7th obviously have shown a loss of support for Netanyahu, who is associated with the catastrophic security failure on October 7th. He was unpopular even before that, and he's deeply unpopular now. But can the opposition put together a viable alternative coalition? That's always the problem in Israeli elections in recent years. You have a very fragmented opposition. It's very hard to get them to agree to, run a sort of a joint list or to run together, to work together. And so what we've seen several times has been that Netanyahu has been able to stay in power in the past, despite his relative unpopularity, because the opposition just cannot get its act together.
When they were talking about a Palestinian state, they were also, leaving aside Gaza, talking about what Israel is doing in the West Bank. Could you join up the dots for me between Hezbollah on the West Bank and Gaza and a Palestinian state?
those are meant to be the two halves of a future Palestine with a capital in East Jerusalem. Of course, Gaza is a war zone, but as you say, in the West Bank, what's happening as well is rendering the prospect of a state increasingly unworkable. You have, for example, a plan that was announced earlier this month by the Israeli government to build new settler homes in an area just to the east of Jerusalem. The significance of that is if they were to build a settlement there, it would almost cut off the northern and southern halves of the West Bank. It would make it very difficult for Palestinians to move from one half of that territory to another. You have ongoing expansion of other settlements, which are gobbling up the land on which Palestinians could build their future state. You have an economic war that Bezalel Smotrich, the Israeli finance minister, has been waging against the Palestinians over the past 2 years. He's withheld the payment of custom taxes that Israel collects on behalf of the Palestinians. He has frozen the Palestinian banking sector out of the Israeli financial system, which has led to a financial crisis, left the Palestinian Authority largely unable to pay salaries. All of this going on in parallel to the war in Gaza. It's been overshadowed somewhat by the horrors in Gaza, but it has left the PA, which is meant to be the nucleus of a future Palestinian government, essentially unable to govern.
And where does Israel expect, you know, if they're driving them out of Gaza, if they're driving them out of the West Bank, if they're doing these settlements, where do they expect the poor Palestinians to go?
If you ask far-right members of this government, their dream is that the Palestinians will be displaced. Their dream is that
to where?
Palestinians living in Gaza will eventually be forced across the border into Egypt, and that Palestinians in the West Bank might be pushed out into Jordan. Obviously, that's deeply unpopular with the governments of Egypt and Jordan. It's contributing to a real crisis in Israel's relations with those two neighboring countries. But that is the idea for the far right in Israel, that they are going to, you know, the ones who are left, the ones who were not displaced in 1948 or in 1967, but they are going to be pushed out, displaced now.
And if it transpires that this continues, it gets worse, and, you know, Israel is seen as a pariah rogue state with genocide, I mean, are they saying, so what? Like, what are ordinary Israeli peoples, other than saying all this criticism is just anti-Semitic and all of that good stuff, I mean, what do they think their standing in the world will be?
I think the problem so far is that, you know, people are aware on some level that their standing in the world has been badly damaged over the past 2 years, but they haven't seen any tangible consequences for that. They haven't seen that really translate into anything. Yes, there are critical speeches. Yes, Western countries are now recognizing Palestine, but what are they doing about that? Is anyone imposing sanctions on Israel? Is anyone downgrading diplomatic relations with Israel? None of the countries that stood up at the UN earlier this week at this French-Saudi conference and you know, all of them condemned Israel's policies in the occupied territories, but none of them really announced concrete steps that they were going to take to try and stop Israel from doing what it's doing. And I think as long as that is the case, as long as this is rhetoric disconnected from action, it's not really going to get through to the median voter in Israel, who has been hearing for many, many years about the country's, you know, worsening diplomatic isolation. But again, hasn't really seen that mean anything in practice.
There you have it. All talk, no action from Europe and the Western world. Greg Karlstrom, thank you indeed. Middle East correspondent from The Economist, talking to us in Dubai with that overview and assessment of where the Middle East conflict is going to end. Some more, thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.